I'm Linda von Tilburg for BizNews, and I'm delighted to have Judy Sikuza, the CEO of the Mandela Rhodes Foundation, with us today. She has recently been recognized as a young global leader of the class of 2024 by the World Economic Forum. Hi, Judy, and welcome to BizNews.
Hi, Linda. Thank you for having me.
Well, congratulations on your selection as a young global leader by the World Economic Forum. So what does it mean to you to be a WEF young global leader?
Thank you so much. Well, it's a great honor for me because, you know, what the platform is trying to do is bring together young people under the age of 40 who are, you know, instrumentally sort of trying to think about how to transform the different sectors. So all of us are senior executives, 80 of us from around the world. And I think what's exciting for me about the platform is it actually allows us as peers to exchange ideas, to talk about lessons learned in leadership. But I think most importantly, to figure out how do we actually exchange ideas in ways in which we might collaborate more effectively globally. And I think, you know, given the divided society that we have today, platforms like this are incredible in allowing us as young people to build those relationships and be able to find ways to work together, solve problems in a more sort of diverse and multicultural way.
So what would the year look like for you? I assume you'll go to Davos?
Well, it's actually a three-year program, which is exciting, yeah. I've just recently now come back from Geneva, where we had our first gathering as the cohort, just to allow us to begin to meet and start forming those relationships. And I also appreciated how they provided us with sort of an overview of some of the broader geopolitical challenges that we are facing in society today. You know, so obviously climate change being a big one, artificial intelligence, what is that going to mean, you know, in society? And what kind of leadership skills are then required to really drive change and make sure that with all these different challenges, we are not leaving behind the most marginalized.
And your speciality is education. So how do you like to take that forward in this program or enhance what your skills are?
Exactly. Yeah. So for me, ultimately, you know, I think what inspires me about the Mandela Rhodes Foundation is that Mr. Mandela said to us, ultimately, education is about the inner transformation of people, right? How do you give people the skills and the perspectives to really understand society, understand the different realities that exist, and understand themselves, right? Build that sense of confidence, build that sense of purpose to be able to, you know, make meaningful change. So I think for me, I'm excited about the platform because I think it's going to sharpen those skills in myself as a leader, but also I think it will help me as I try to lead the foundation and the broader work we're trying to do to really say, how do we amplify the platforms where people are more educated about the issues that exist? Because I think oftentimes people actually aren't aware about what does climate change actually mean? What does artificial intelligence actually mean? You know, what are the real geopolitical challenges and how do we as individuals take our own responsibility in contributing positively to those issues?
Well, of course, the foundation, the Mandela Rhodes Foundation, is really well known. You were a scholar. So what does it mean to be a scholar of the foundation?
Yeah. Exactly 17 years ago, I was on the journey and it was very transformative because I was in a room with other young people, you know, who were like average age 21 at the time from across the continent. So I think it began to sort of open my mind about, you know, the African continent at large. And I think sadly, as you know, sometimes South Africans are quite narrow-minded about, you know, the rest of the continent. So I like that the program actually allowed for that broadening of perspectives, building of relationships with peers. And I think one of the strengths of our program is that we bring students from different fields and different sectors. So imagine now you've got a scientist, a lawyer, a journalist, an artist in the room together from different countries. And that's where what we call the Mandela Rhodes magic happens, because they're able to actually learn about each other's countries and each other's fields. And that really enriches you in your own sort of leadership journey.
So the emphasis on is across Africa, not to teach this new generation, not only South Africa.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're currently in 36 African countries. And the goal that Madiba had was that we would actually have Mandela Rhodes Scholars from all 55 countries. So that's a big part of our strategy over the next few years to expand the opportunity to students from across the continent.
So I also, given the current social climate in South Africa, some might argue we're more divided than ever. So how do we bridge these divisions for a new young generation?
Yeah. I mean, a big part of it is dialogue, right? Because because we're so divided, we're not spending time with people who are different from us. You know, you go home, you go to your neighborhood and you spend time with the same people. But I think what the Mandela Rhodes Foundation is trying to do is actually be that platform that says, let's bring a young person who might come from Khayelitsha, or a young person who might come from Bishop's Court, and a young person who might come from Kinshasa, and how do they share their experiences and begin to actually help educate each other about the realities. And from that place, that's when you can actually collaborate and co-create the kind of society that we want to build. So I think, bringing people together, sharing stories, really listening, finding a sense of mutual understanding, that builds empathy. And over time, you're able to see society beyond just your own world, but actually appreciate the lived realities of many people.
Well, there's also a noticeable trend of talented African students who leave the continent to further studies abroad, which is good. But how do we encourage that talent to come back and build Africa?
No, exactly. And I mean, this is a question that usually comes up for us in terms of what happens to Mandela Rhodes Scholars. So some of them, probably about 5%, do go and study overseas. But what's good is that most of them are actually coming back, because we select young people who are committed to doing work for the African continent. And then I also say sometimes, I don't mind if there's a handful of Mandela Rhodes Scholars in these global spaces, because as you know, there are also decisions that are being made about Africa on the global platform. And I have no problem knowing that there is someone who is a Mandela Rhodes Scholar who has sort of ethical leadership, the perspective that Mandela encouraged in those rooms, so that when people are making decisions about Africa, we're also actually challenging the worldviews that people have. So I think, it's important that a majority of our students are staying on the continent, which is good. But I also don't have a problem with a handful that are in these global platforms, because they're making impact. And I've visited two of them when I was in Geneva, one of them working in the UN, one of them working at the World Economic Forum. And I was just so inspired to see how these young men have grown to become, these sort of like confident leaders, and they're contributing their skills in a global way.
Well, this question you probably always ask, the the Mandela Rhodes Foundation carries the name of two influential but such different figures. Do people often ask you, why do you keep that name going forward?
Absolutely. And it's actually one of my favorite questions, because it's the reason that we exist. So when Mr. Mandela was asked by the Rhodes Trust in 2003, it was within a global context where the Rhodes Trust was turning 100 years old, and they wanted to return some of the wealth from where it was originally made. And so when Mr. Mandela, thought about this potential partnership, he saw it as an opportunity to really bring a practical expression to his legacy of reconciliation and reparations, right? So how do we not only say, let's come together, but let's also, let's put some figures to this, to say, let's bring back some of this wealth so that we're able to build the next generation. But we don't do it in a frivolous way. We, through our program, actually have a whole module on reconciliation and reparations, and our students get to discuss some of the realities of the past, colonial history and the implications of those, the inequalities that have been created by that. But we also discuss some of the challenges of, kind of post-colonial liberation leaders, which Mandela represents. So we're able to sort of use these two figures of Mandela and Rhodes, who symbolize colonial history on the continent and then the kind of post-colonial liberation movements, and reflect on what has been the impact of both of these sort of systems, and how now can our young Mandela Rhodes Scholars learn from some of the mistakes and make sure that we're able to work together and use the diversity to actually take us forward in a positive way.
Well, tell us a little bit about who you are. I mean, we've discussed beforehand that you were really young when Nelson Mandela was released. So what are you, what drives you? I see you've climbed Kilimanjaro.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, I grew up in the Eastern Cape in South Africa, a small town called Butterworth. And I think from a young age, I was always quite a curious person. I loved engaging with people, especially people who were different. And I'd always sort of ask questions about, why do you do this? What drives you? So I ended up doing psychology, to my mother's dismay, because economics and accounting were actually my top subjects. And she thought I should have gone into business. But I don't know, there was something in me that felt like I wanted to understand how humans operate, and then how could I help us operate from our highest selves, you know? So I think I'm driven by creating a purpose-driven life, and that I can help our students also get clear on that purpose. Because I think when we operate from purpose, we operate from a place of wholeness. You're able to then know that everything that you do is driven by something that feels bigger than yourself, and that it can make a positive contribution. So, yeah, I think that's a little bit of what drives me on a day-to-day basis.
Well, we hope you enjoyed the 3 years, and thank you so much for speaking to us, Judy Sikunza.
Thank you so much, Linda. Appreciate it.